to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the New World Order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, thanks for staying with us and joining us in the guest segment of our show. And it's going to be really kind of a unique show. I've invited Alexander Daly, who does a lot of great research for us here at the Common Sense Show. And we've done some interviews before on some very sensitive topics, namely the extreme corruption of the California congressional delegation. And we've done more than that. I mean, we've gotten into Ukraine and everything. But, you know, Alexander and I were talking one night, and she was asking, I thought, some really good questions. And I said to myself, this would be a really good interview. So what we're going to do is she's going to do a Q&A with me. And she's going to ask questions. I'm going to give answers. She's going to follow up, give her opinion. And I think that you get to see kind of a broad range of topics discussed in really kind of a low-profile environment, where people can easily digest the information. Their shields won't be up because this is non-threatening. And so I think you're going to really enjoy this. Anyway, before we jump into this with Alexandra, I need to let you know there are some people who keep the lights on for the Common Sense Show, and we're really indebted to them. The first of which is Noble Gold. And I have to tell you, I am not just an advertiser for Noble Gold. I am a customer. I went to their owner, Colin Plume, and I said, Colin, I really have way too much money in the bank. Not that I'm rich, but of my percentage of assets, I have way too high a percentage. And we talked about it. And he says, yeah, I see your point. And I said, I need some asset reallocation, but I'm not an economist. I said, I kind of understand the principles from talking to people like you, but I couldn't begin to execute this properly. And they took me under their wing with no pressure, none, zero pressure. In fact, actually, I was kind of pushing the envelope to move this along. And eventually, I said, you know what? I really like what you guys have done. Let's go for it. And so now I'm diversified. And I have less of a percentage in the bank, which is smart for everyone today. And I'm fully diversified. And it's not just gold and silver. It's just tremendous what they've done for me. And they tailor make programs for everyone's circumstances. So it's not a one-size-fits-all organization. I want you to give them a call and have them do a check on you. And there's no cost to do a check. Absolutely zero. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. Noble Gold. Love these guys. Absolutely highest recommendation. Also, too, highest recommendation goes to MPS, our storable food company. Yes, they're still producing. Yeah, they are. And listen, this is why I love them. There's no price gouging. They still have the same quality food, restaurant quality, tastes great, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 25-year shelf life, no glyphosates, no GMOs, and they have kept their price the same since 2.5 months ago when they offered 4 and 2 week packages at nearly 40% off. They haven't changed from this. They refuse to price gouge, and they could, because their orders have gone up 100-fold. And this is why I put my faith and trust in these people, and I'm proud to be their sponsor. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, Alexander Daly really needs no introduction. Any of you who have followed us for any length of time have heard her tremendous contributions to the show. And we're going to really just jump right into it and start asking questions. And I hope that you'll find that a lot of the things that you're wondering about are going to get covered right here in this segment. Alexander, glad you could join us. I got to tell you, as busy as I've been, and as much as I've kept everyone in my life, including you, at arm's length to try to get through this multitude of tasks I'm in, I have really looked forward to doing this. So shall we, without further ado, just say welcome, and let's just jump right into it.
Hi, Dave.
Who are you?
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard of you before.
Right? Well, we were playing phone tag for a little while, and then, but our initial conversation about this was like 2 weeks ago. So, yeah. You're a very busy man. Well, I'd been thinking about what you had told me, and so I guess things and questions that some viewers, whether they're new or maybe getting their feet wet or, you know, or what have you, what kinds of stuff would you tell them? What would they need to know? What would they want to know? What nuggets of advice could you impart to them as far as what you do? And
I want to interject this, too. It's not that we're telling people what to think here. We're raising questions and giving our perspectives about what we will do in these situations. And it's designed to spur thinking on the part of people listening, not necessarily mimic what we're doing. That's not the intent here.
No, let's take something like the coronavirus, because that's in your face, and I'll get to the other, they're not even scenarios, but what would you tell the average person, because there's so much going on about the corona thing, what does the average person need to know? How would you tell them?
Well, in my humble opinion, I believe we have sold our collective future for $1,200 a piece of stimulus money. When I saw what was in that stimulus bill, and when I see how the Democratic mayors and governors are reacting to this crisis, it makes no sense. I mean, they open up the prisons, but they imprison us in our homes. They are wanting to keep open abortion clinics as essential businesses, but gun stores and liquor stores have to close. Like somehow nitrates and alcohol have something to do with the coronavirus. If you can go into an abortion clinic, you sure as hell can go into a gun store. But again, it's democratic communism, and Trump could get defeated now because the economy is in shambles, and it's not going to recover before the election. And so my greatest fear is this, is we've already been put under condition of martial law. Oh, they're not calling it that, and we don't see troops marching with guns in front of our homes, but make no mistake about it, this is a soft form of martial law. And a Democratic president comes in, he's already got a nation under subjugation. And can there be any doubt that this Democratic Party in the year 2020, can there be any doubt that this is a Bolshevik takeover of our government? I think there's no doubt. That's what I think people need to know. We are at a crossroads in our country. We are fighting for the right to remain free, fighting for the right to keep our civil liberties. And right now, they're hanging in the balance because, as Eric Holder said, the Obama disgraced attorney general, he said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And the Democrats are taking full advantage of this.
Have you seen what kind of uptick? I mean, because what I've seen in the craziness of what they've been doing, even just since this went on, seems like it's gone a hundredfold, because everything that they're doing is definitely tearing us apart and into an unbelievable abyss. You know, between the food, the people, the civil unrest, the economy, it's frightening. It's truly frightening. And I agree with you. I think we're at a place we've never been. So I guess.
I know. We are clearly living history. We could see the history books in a generation saying the Republic of the United States of America, 1776 to 2020. And then they'll give their version of what happened. Remember, the victor always writes the history. So they'll say the greedy capitalists were finally defeated if the Bolsheviks are in charge. That's what we're going to see. Otherwise, as we try to recapture ourselves, if we're able to regain the reins of control in a generation, we'll be talking about how we went down the wrong path. We allowed corruption in Congress, insider trading, an illegal for-profit campaign system that allows these people to go into Congress being worth a moderate amount of money and leaving as filthy rich. And they serve corporate interests, not the people. And that the corporations have more rights than the people. This is what we'll say in a generation if we're able to have a counter-revolution against a Bolshevik takeover.
Very insightful. That's very, very insightful. But I have another question for you. And this one is goes along those same lines and what we look for, but why is it, and we know it's the media, because, excuse me, they all have, you know, what is it, six major corporations own all the media?
98%, so, yes.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's a name we haven't heard in a while, and this is why I'm bringing this up. Little Rocket Man over in North Korea. We heard about him over and over and over, and then, you know, suddenly there's this deal, and then suddenly you don't hear anything. And kind of the same with the Russia, 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 and it was all about Putin. What is it about these types of agendas? Because we know these people haven't gone away, but it's almost like turning a blind eye to everything else going on, so you focus on this one thing. And again, we have to use the coronavirus because that's getting shoved in our face. But why is it that we get this abundance of information or disinformation from somebody like North Korea and Putin being covered, and then suddenly we don't? And they move on to, you know, don't look over here, look over here.
Yeah, it's classic mainstream media propaganda brainwashing mechanism. Absolutely right. And this is exactly what we're seeing. Let me put it to you this way, too. If a Democrat takes over the White House in November, actually it'll be in January, in the inauguration, if that happens, what we will see is America going to war. And I base that on all the reports I'm getting, the videos I'm getting of massive troop movements in our country. And right now we're going into war mode. We've already come to the psychological acceptance, like we did in World War II, of essential businesses and non-essential businesses, and that the people exist to follow the government dictate, not that the government serves the people. And that is war mentality, and people aren't recognizing it. Yet, you know, I used to teach history, you know, in my young years, and I did learn the lessons. They say you don't learn something until you teach it. And what I learned from World War II, and I'm not saying it wasn't appropriate to defeat our enemies, but we did divide essential and non-essential businesses along defensive lines. And if you look at what we're doing with the medical industry, okay, that is basically a defensive move, because you're going to need treatment, triage for casualties, the wounded warriors that come back home. When you're looking at Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all the corporations, they're not closing them. They're saying, oh, you're an essential business. But you, the little small business owner over here, we can't let three people in your business, but we can let hundreds go to work at Raytheon. And that's, we're in war mode right now, and people don't see it.
Well, do you think, in part, some of them don't see it because we don't hear about it, because some of them don't, some people don't even know either what they're involved with, or, you know, so there's, they don't even know to look for it. You know, they don't know what they're looking at. I guess that's a better way of phrasing it. They don't necessarily know what they're looking at.
Well, how honest do you want me to be? I don't mean to be insulting, because the thing is, as far as American intelligence level and awareness level of our current situation, the people that follow stations like mine are way above the curve. Way above the curve.
Well, that's true.
Okay?
That's true.
Okay, but when we take America as an aggregate, an average, what we are looking at is a country that largely can barely make it to Friday, much less understand the historical context of the circumstances that we're moving into. People do not realize where we're at. They're all focused on, I don't want to catch corona. And the mainstream media is fueling the disinformation. AOL.com, that little news service where they run about 100 news stories there when you go to log in. AOL Time Warner, who owns them, the most liberal organization on the face of the earth. They ran a poll the other day, and it's a bogus poll. They don't tell you who was surveyed, you know, what's the margin of error, blah, 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 blah. They don't do any of the regular things they should do statistically. They just ran a poll, and they said, we've discovered that 100% of Americans believe they're going to get the coronavirus. And my wife and I were talking about this last night at dinner. Neither one of us believe that we're going to get it, because we're taking the proper steps in the present time. And so we don't believe it, so it can't be 100%. And nowhere in research or in polling do you ever get 100% response rate. Ever. Ever. I mean, survey someone. Is the sun up? Well, it could be, but probably about 1% to 2% of the people might be on LSD or heroin, and they're not going to see straight. I mean, you never get 100%. That silly example, you never get 100% on a poll that agree with everything. And that just on its face was a load of BS. But see, here's what it is. Listen carefully, folks. This is where I get to invoke my background in the field of psychology. What they're doing is employing something called groupthink. And if they can get you to think that, hey, everyone else thinks that they're going to get coronavirus, you should too, or you're really stupid. And by the way, if you don't want to get the coronavirus, you better do every little thing the government tells you here, as we take away your right to earn a living, we take away your right to pay the bills, your ability, your right to travel freely. Oh, yes, indeed, we are using groupthink, and you don't even know it.
Well, and they use that in TV. Well, that's why they used to call it programming. I mean, think about it. It's right there in the word, TV programs. Marketing alone, they'll tell you, this is my two cents, back when I was taking marketing and other classes and involved in that work, I was specifically told, don't use anything above a sixth grade education.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And all you have to do is turn on the TV, look at the commercials, look at the content, and, I mean, Common Core is a horrifying thing in the education system, but everything on TV, not all, there's some good shows, but for the most part, it's either programming, or they're dumbing you down, or you can't have something over a sixth grade education. I find that highly asinine, to say the least.
Yeah, well, it even goes a little further back in history. When Carnegie, Rockefeller, and the industrialists set up public education, they did so because to man the factories, they wanted to bring in cheap labor. See, today, we ship our factories overseas for cheap labor. Then they brought immigrants here for the cheap labor. But they had to educate them. They had to be able to read simplistic English and write simplistic English. So they developed the philosophy that they wanted, you know, education to basically allow people to become smart enough to do their jobs, sixth grade level, but not so smart that they would ever challenge authority. So the elite kids, you know, they went on to Harvard and elite institutions, and they took theology, they took philosophy, and they studied people like John Locke and the rights of man. But the people who were being educated on a public level were being educated to about the sixth grade level in today's education system, just so they could work in the factory and be good, compliant little immigrant, now Americans. And see, that's the whole philosophy. And Common Core, I'll tell you a quick story about Common Core. I think you'll appreciate this. You know, I'll say this as proud papa. My son was an honor student all the way through K through 12. And he was always ahead in math by grade and by subject. And he was, I think, in the third grade, taking a fifth grade math class. Wow. And they asked him, okay, solve this problem. So he and his friend Andrew, wonderful kid, Andrew and he solved a problem independently. But in Common Core, you can only solve a problem in math three different ways. Mm-hmm. You can't do it a fourth way, even if you can run the proof on it yourself and show that you're right and the sequential steps you took to get there. Well, my son and Andrew both did that. Andrew was a brilliant kid, and they got marked down because they stepped outside Common Core, which kills independent and creative thinking. And this is really highly, I think, illustrative of our education system today, where most, not all, you know, secondary institutions teach compliance, they teach to the curriculum, which is now written by the United Nations and UNESCO, comes in through the Presidential Council of Sustainability, adopted by Congress, the Department of Education, and goes out to all the states. And the states aren't required to follow it, but if they don't, they lose their federal education money. I hope all that makes sense. But basically,
oh, it does.
I just told you how America gets brainwashed.
Very well, you did. I had a similar situation with my son that way, and I think you gave one of the best examples I've heard, because I went toe-to-toe with Common Core, keeping it out of his schools up until the point he was in high school from kindergarten, and that program is a disaster, and
it needs to go... It explains why people can't think, why they can't be creative, and why right now they're being led around the nose by $1,200 of stimulus money per person in order to give up all their rights. You want me to say something really inflammatory?
Please do.
Okay. I just asked my own question, sorry. But,
oh, I'm sorry, was that audible?
Yes, it was. That's okay. But anyway, here's my position on this. I alluded to this very early on when we first started discussing these issues, but I'm of the opinion now, and I'm not saying that we should go full bore and take no precautions, but today I woke up and I looked up and I saw chemtrails. You know, I was in the grocery store a couple days ago and I saw GMOs. I know that 5G Wi-Fi is being activated everywhere and our brains are going to be fried and lit up. Okay? It's called depopulation. All right?
Yep.
Now, I'm beginning to think that we'd be better off facing the coronavirus without giving up our constitutional liberties, because in the long run, when we decide enough's enough and we stand up and things get violent, in the long run, if we stood up now, fewer people will die from the virus than will die from us sacrificing our rights in the revolution that will eventually ensue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I've heard you say it several times. When it comes down to something like what's going on, when the government starts saying, let me take care of you, run. Stand up, grab your gun, and frickin' run or fight or something. But what was it? Now I ran into something else. I mean,
there
come all the bills that, you know, they wanted to take over the grocery stores, and it was Costco and Target and Kroger, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, that we already have food issues. And then, but it just, it's all about them taking control. And if it looks good and it smells good, it's like, no, it smells like a pile of poop is what it smells like.
Yeah, it really does. And what people don't realize is the old Ben Franklin saying, those that would sacrifice liberty for security will get nor deserve neither. And we're about ready to find that out.
Well, with that question, don't you believe that all these implementations, even the, because you know they can't just do it, they got to baby step it. You and I've talked about that, where it's one side pushes hard and fast, and when that doesn't work, they go to the other side and they maneuver in and out, even though both sides play footsie under the table and on our dime. Don't you think, because we've always had the two parties, and the one party is clearly crashing, the movement towards socialism, when we look at the history of everything in this country that has gone from, you know, we have people talking about communism and from their country saying they've infiltrated us and communism was pushed. Well, now we're moving into socialism. Don't you think that's what this is more about? Especially looking at somebody like Bernie Sanders being presented, because he wouldn't have been, I guess, acceptable how many years ago? There wasn't any of that. But it seems to me like we're inching a little bit more towards socialism, communism, not inching. It was just shoved into. Especially with these kinds of programs, because that's not what we were ever built on.
Yeah, to answer this point here in this question, I think you're right. I see in Bernie socialism being espoused, but he lives very much the capitalist lifestyle with his three mansions and his multi-millions and jets and so forth. This guy is a total fraud. He's a total hypocrite, but make no mistake about it. He took his honeymoon in Red Square, and he will bring those policies and philosophies here. He will not be elected. And the reason he won't be elected is because he's worn communism too much on his sleeve. And the Democrats felt that, okay, Trump will make hay out of this. Now, Biden is a closet communist. There's no doubt what he is. In fact, Biden said it himself in the last debate. We agree on principles. We just disagree on the details. That's a quote.
That was one of his more lucid statements
for a man in severe cognitive decline. In fact, you know, Biden definitely is the first dementia presidential candidate in our history. But he was right on this point. And I think that what we have to look at here is the fact that you're going to get communism vanilla style or strawberry style. It's going to be one or the other. And so they said, well, Biden, we can hide it a little better. And he has the respectability of having been a vice president. But make no mistake about it. If he were sworn in, his cabal that'll rule from behind this person in mental decline will no doubt install communism, a Bolshevik revolution in this country. It's already underway from the deep state. I'm going to give you an example. Here the president lays down a 15-day plan, and you've got mayors in this country, Democratic mayors in blue cities, with the audacity to basically go much further than the president ever said they had to. They want to control everything. That's the point.
Well, that's why I said that, because what I see peripherally when they start implementing all this stuff is that they can't, even though they want to, but that's why they stick all this crap in these bills.
That's right.
I heard you bring that up even with this, and this last bill that they're sitting there jerking around on.
Careful.
I had to be careful of my language.
Family show here.
That's why I said jerking. this is supposed to be an emergency. Why aren't you pushing the bill through, and why is all this crap in it? Just like Obamacare, and that in the midst of that, if you bought $500 worth of gold, you had to report it. What the hell does that have to do with health care? But they sneak it all in, and then they bring something else where it's actually in front of your face, but it's okay. And I think by the time that you wake up, not people like you, me, and your listeners, et cetera, but by the time people wake up, it's too late. It's kind of like going into the fun house and find out you just walked into a FEMA camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always kind of felt like it was a baby-stepping process, so I just was actually very curious on your take on what you saw and how you saw it.
Well, very much. They live by the law of incrementalism. But once they get 51% of the control, then it's hell on wheels.
As if it's not bad enough.
Well, we're not there yet. Listen. Before Obama, okay, they had the deep state was in firm existence, but they had the attitude, you know, we want it like a submarine in war, rig for silent running, at deep depths. We don't want to alarm or alert the American people to our existence and our true purpose, which is the overthrow of the U.S. government. And they did this for decades. What? The Council on Foreign Relations? What are you, some kind of mentally ill conspiracy theorist? Now you've got Hillary Clinton did her press conferences in front of a CFR background. And they've come out of the closet because they have grown to these proportions. They realize the takeover is nearly complete. They're advertising amongst themselves, Hail Hydra, and they are primed for a communist takeover in this country.
And that's an, well, there's another thing. You just brought up the CFR, and then we have the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs, and notice we don't hear about anything about that. I don't even remember the last time we heard anything on Bohemian Grove.
Well, you know, Bohemian Grove, they've always tried to keep that under wraps. They have to, because of what goes on there. But in terms of the Bilderberg, well, that's where real decisions get made now. National policies are formulated in the Trilateral Commission and the CFR. But if you really want to look at where the globalists are going and their overall global plan, that's what the Bilderberg is for, and now they go through the same secrecy the trilaterals used to. I'm going to give you an example in history, my own history. In 1980, I read Patrick Wood. It's kind of cool to be his friend now, but I read Patrick Wood's book he co-authored with the late Anthony Sutton called Trilaterals Over Washington. It's still this day, 40 years plus, is still the best documented book on how the Rockefellers gained essential control over the media, the industry, the entertainment industry. They had detailed lists of subsidiary holdings, influences. It was incredible. And so, armed with that, and this is before the internet, I went to university libraries and I looked up Trilateral Commission. And I want to tell you, in May of 1980, I could only find one reference to the Trilateral Commission, and it was written by, really, the Trilateral Commission's mouthpiece, the Atlantic Monthly, and in there they debunked the existence of the Trilateral Commission. And today it's totally out in the open. So they used to hide. Now these people have their minions in the deep state. This government's been taken over by the bureaucracy of the deep state inside the government. The bureaucracy controls the politicians. I'll give you an example. Nick Bryan, who wrote the book, the Franklin Scandal, he detailed, and my late friend Bill Pollack, formerly of Air Force Intel and contract agent for the CIA, told me the exact same story, that many of these people, when they're elected, they go to Washington, they get taken to an inaugural party, and even if they don't engage with fooling around with two young people, they take videos and pictures of them that leave the implication that something happened. So now they can control their key votes like they did with things like Obamacare. You remember how many people? I said, if you want to know who the perverts are in Congress, just look at who flipped their vote on the eve of passing Obamacare. And this is how they control. The bureaucracies control the elected officials. And then they give the carrot and stick. The stick is, we'll expose you. The carrot is, hey, how about insider trading? And just pass a law and says it's not illegal. And you guys will be home free. And you can go into Congress, maybe worth $200,000, and you'll leave like Dianne Feinstein is as a billionaire. Okay? On a public servant salary. Maxine Waters, $170,000 public servant salary, yet she lives in the most expensive house in her congressional district. I call her Mad Maxine Waters from SoCal Dome. Because that woman is just, she's as loony as Biden. Biden has an excuse. It's cognitive decline that's brain-oriented. She just has bad character, and she's an environmentally produced sociopath. The result is the same, but just to finish this one thought.
No, go ahead.
What we have here is a Congress that's bought and sold for. They're the biggest whorehouse in the history of the planet. And they don't care about you. They pretend to care about you every 2, 4, and 6 years, but they don't care about you. You're not in the club, and they take care of those who take care of them with generous campaign contributions that add to their wealth and insider trading, free health care for life. We don't get that. Free pension coverage covered by the Federal Reserve, believe it or not. You and I don't get that. And our government is bought and paid for. So when we sit here today with our Constitution in shambles, our economy in free fall, should we be surprised that we've entered a new age called feudalism?
Not at all. But like I said, I mean, I understand it took a process. This didn't happen overnight. But the appalling part is how long it's gone on and with the corruption and you know, being that you stated this, I will nicely elaborate on it. You know, it's come out not only with the financial fraud, and you and I have covered the whole Hunter Biden and Ukraine thing, so we know that's going on. And we know that they bribe congressmen and senators and God knows who because of children and other means and methods. And it just, it's despicable. And then when it comes out, it's mind-numbing that nothing is done. And the people that do try to do something about it usually don't end up with the very positive above-ground experience.
You mean like those people who know the Clintons and commit suicide suddenly?
Well, there's those people, and then you have the friends of Epstein and the, you know, and now we've got Harvey Weinstein, who's in jail and conveniently contracted the coronavirus.
Or so they say.
Yeah, see, that's exactly where I was, because we know what happened to Epstein. But I think that's going to be the cover for this, and I think that's what they do. If they don't end up underground, they end up somewhere else. Very few of them end up in jail. And I'm kind of wondering, and I'm hoping, and I'm praying for our dear president, because he's got so many snakes in the White House, he needs to take care of them. You know, if I had a message for President Trump, it'd be, we are praying for you, we stand for you, we're standing united with you. You know, you have your patriots. Stay on God's path, and you know, we want you to lead this nation. We need you, and we want to see you perp walk some of these people. We need some big names. We need some big names. There's big corruption going on. And I guess, what do you do? How do you fight that? When you're at when you're dealing with that kind of level, I guess, because now it's, you got the legal system, the judicial system, the I want to phrase this carefully. I'll just go this route. What's it going to take to get one of these people walked? I mean, what in your mind, what do you think? I don't mind, I'd be angry about it. I don't mind if some people get off. But what does it take to, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that? What do you think it's going to take to get some of these people?
Not listen to QAnon, 65,000 indictments next week. 100,000 a week after? No, we're opening Gitmo. How many times have we heard that crap? The bottom line is they're not going to send each other to prison because the answer to the same deep state forces that are encouraging these illegal behaviors. I mean, the last prominent person I can remember being sent to prison wasn't even a political figure. He was wealthy, but he wasn't a political figure. Bernie Madoff is kind of like Bernie Madoff with all our money.
I remember him.
He went to prison, but he wasn't part of the establishment. I mean, you've got Hillary, 33,000 national security violations on her home computer, all carrying 5-year prison sentences as a minimum. And nothing. And the FBI said, yeah, she did it, but it was an accident. Well, the law doesn't really care national security if something's an accident. My dad worked in that field. Didn't matter if you made a mistake. You make a mistake and violate national security, you're going to prison. You violated Security Oath 450, and for my dad, it would have been 20 years of hard labor at Fort Leavenworth. For Hillary, it should just be 5 years per offense, and she should be getting out in about 165 years.
And that's just on that.
That's okay. I mean, she's got the adrenochrome. She'll survive it.
Let's hope she doesn't have it anymore. Well, I'm not going to get started on that one. That will be a different show.
that does beg the question, which, well, okay, never mind. You're right. Let's not go
that,
there.
That will be a different show, I promise. So, yeah, that one is kind of in my craw but I do also want to give one tiny shout out to the FBI and to Trump, because when he came into office, he did say he was going after the pedophiles, and I've been keeping track of that since he said it. And to date, even within his first, I think it was his first 2 years, he'd convicted more pedophiles than Obama did in his entire term. And I keep going to the FBI site, and this is where I want to praise him for just a moment, because I kid you not, there's at least anywhere between 10 and 20 notifications, because I check their United States and some global, but they're going all over the place. And I'm astounded, because we're not talking like petty little players. Some of these are 300, 200, you know, several hundred people. So he's keeping his promise. So kudos to Trump and kudos to the FBI for that. What kind of thing do you see happening? Let's say Trump gets elected again, which he should, considering what's there. he should go unopposed. What kind of things do you see, or do you think, changes he should make, people he should bring in?
He will personally not. My opinion, he won't get elected. We've only seen the beginning of the collapse. And when Americans are suffering through 3 years of hell on wheels and where's the next meal coming from, he's not getting elected. They will have on the mainstream media that will keep blaring out the same message over and over and over. Trump is to blame. Trump is to blame. Trump's a racist. Trump's a sexist. Trump is to blame. You're poor because of Trump. Let Joe Biden do it for you. He's never impoverished anybody. This is what you're going to see. And I think right now, unless there's a dramatic turn of events between now and the end of the summer, we are going to see Trump unelected, and Joe Biden will be your next president, with the secret cabal ruling behind this mentally defective president. And that's what I see happening. And I'll tell you, they're going to utilize in the mainstream media another psychological principle called confirmation bias. And that's what the Nazis popularized. Repeat a big enough lie often enough, and the people will come to believe it. And there won't be anything to challenge it, because the crisis, they'll explode this to a crisis level, and people like myself and you and anybody else who's in the alternative media will be declared to be enemies of the state, will be off the air, and you'll only hear one message from CNN, the Communist News Network, and people will turn and they'll vote for Biden. That's what I think is going to happen. Unless there's a turn of events, like I said, before the end of the summer.
Well, what do you think he needs to do? Because, and you and I share a difference of opinion on that, because I think he's going to win by a landslide. However,
I hope you're right. Please be right and let me be wrong.
You know what? That is one thing. I love you, Dave, but that's one thing I'm praying for.
Oh, I want to be wrong. Listen, I'm not doing this because I want to see Joe Biden in the Oval Office.
Oh, I know.
That's not why we're doing this, but... But I think that what Trump has to do, that's a really good question. What Trump has to do is he literally has to commit unemployment with government bureaucracies. He needs to go through and fire probably about 50% of every employee in the governmental bureaucracy. He needs to start with Fauci, who sent Hillary Clinton love letters when she was running for president. I kid you not. Glenn Beck broke that. Glenn Beck broke the story, and he's right. I've followed up on it. He was right. And Fauci is deliberately being disrespectful to the president in public. It's okay to challenge him privately. That's why you bring on a consultant. But publicly go out and embarrass your commander in chief. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. He should be gone. And Trump needs to take that approach with every person in his government. He'd be better off putting you and me, and not that I'm saying I'm worthy, I'm not, but he'd be better off putting you and me in cabinet positions, because at least we'd try to do the right thing. At least we would be loyal to the president if he appointed us and we served under him. We wouldn't seek to undermine him. We'd put the mainstream media in their place every chance we got. In fact, I would advocate to the president, stop talking to them. All they're going to do is twist your words and lie about you. So that's the first thing he needs to do, is bring in a whole new crew and people who will try to do the right thing. That should be the primary job requirement, with some level of expertise. But if you bring in these people with 3 decades of experience in deep state operations like the CDC, you're going to keep getting the same BS that you've got now. The next thing that he needs to do is enforce open forum law number 230, in which the social medias like Twitter and like Facebook, that if they have an inappropriate post on their site, they're not held liable because they have open forum protection. And all they have to do is move to remove it once they discover it. But if they're not open forum, they can be prosecuted. Well, in open forum laws in Section 230, it says that you cannot censor people on an open forum. Yet they do that every day. They cancel accounts of people they disagree with politically. Trump needs to enforce that immediately. And he needs to go get a go-to guy who answers to him, a special prosecutor like a Trey Gowdy or a Devin Nunes, and go after these people and start prosecuting them. Oh, and if that happened, boy, you would get the real truth in social media because it wouldn't be censored. Those are the two things that I would do immediately.
What would you do after that? Once you got those, that ball rolling, what about, let's look at this situation. What do you think the best thing to do? I mean, part of me is like, close the damn borders.
Oh, that goes without saying. I mean, if the coronavirus has taught us anything, and we've got 1,000 Chinese plus that have been apprehended since January crossing the border, national Chinese, what'd they do, swim from China? They were deposited in Mexico, and they're crossing the border for nefarious purposes. Give me an ever-loving break. And by the way, that information comes from the Border Patrol and DHS. It's not even in dispute. So yes, you close the border, and you allow reasonable immigration like our forefathers did. If you were sick, you didn't get in 1880. And they did background checks as best they could. They admitted 13 million immigrants through Ellis Island, and they didn't have computers. And we can't do the job efficiently and correct today with our technology. We don't want to do it correctly because the Nancy Pelosi's association with people like President Nieto, who took a $100 million bribe when he was Mexican president to look the other way for the Sinaloas and Chapo Guzman. And don't tell me, people, that didn't happen. It was testified to in the Chapo Guzman federal trial in Florida. It happened. And she's in bed with him. I've got pictures of them together. Not in bed, but I've got pictures of her and Beto O'Rourke together. Oh, together.
Thanks
together.
For that visual.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Sorry. I hope no one just recently ate a meal.
Well, and then you've got over here in California. I'm sorry. It's a little bit windy and dry, so I do not have the coronavirus. I do have a little bit of a cough. Then you've got over here in California, and you've got Newsom, you've got all these people, and let's go back to Moonbeam, who was sitting there doing deals with China. Wait, I mean, isn't that illegal?
It violates the Logan Act. And by the way, Newsom is trying to get a $1 trillion loan from the Bank of China so he doesn't face the fiddler next month when his $385 billion debt comes due, and he can't account for half the money by all accounts.
That's illegal.
Yeah, but that's illegal. But not only that, his covering it up by the means he's using, the Bank of China, that's illegal too. It's illegal for him to even apply for the loan. He has to have the express permission of Congress and the president to violate the Logan Act. And he should be right now be charged. So you said, what should Trump do? I just told you right there. Newsom goes on trial. Hold the trial on national TV. Let Pelosi have her spasms and her Pelosi palsy on in public. That's fine. Let him go crazy. Hold the trial in public so every American can see what a communist, what a traitor, and what a criminal Gavin Newsom is. And by the way, he's the nephew of Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, he is, by marriage. It seems like they're all, well, and you and I have talked about this, and I've said it repeatedly, it's like this incestual abyss And, you know, being a native Californian, I got to tell you, I've never wanted to leave this state, but I do. That would be kind of one of my number ones. I agree with you on every point that you've hit about what he needs to do. But he needs to come over here and rattle some cages and slap some shackles on, especially on Newsom. And, hey, if he wants to take Pelosi, Feinstein, and Kamala Harris, feel free. Take them all.
I agree.
Maxine Waters would be another one because... Wasn't she trying to incite violence on the president? I mean, my God, when doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. She said, I'll go there to Washington, and I'll take him out myself. Where's the Secret Service? Well, they're controlled but largely by the deep state. That's why you're not seeing anything done. Oh, my gosh. We're back to square one here as we come to the end of this segment. And I have to say this, ladies and gentlemen. You just got the Dave and Alexandra wish list. And, I don't know what Trump's been threatened with. But it's been clear to me in the last week when I said this on my channel, that he and Pence are not in control. And you can see it in their body language. Their body language is stiff, awkward. He goes before the American people and says, I'd like to have some conditional reopenings of certain businesses by Easter. And it's like he's asking for permission. He's not being presidential and declaring, we're going to evaluate, and if this is what we can do, this is how we're going to do it. He is saying, I hope that, gee, I hope the people behind me will give me permission. He's lost control. And I don't know how they're controlling him, but I maintain there's been a coup de grace in the White House. Like I said, he wasn't marched out under guard. There's been no assassination attempt that we know of. But regardless, something has happened. And I'm not the only one saying this, Alexander. Many of my colleagues in the alternative media are privately saying, maybe I'm the only one stupid enough to say it out loud. Anyway, on that note, Alexander, we got to close. I want to thank you for coming on and facilitating these insane ramblings. Maybe somewhere there's a glimmer of truth in these, and I appreciate you coming on.